This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on sportsradio740.com.
Marty, welcome back in, everybody. Glad you are with us here today. About 20 minutes to the top of the hour, and joining us now on our Dreamland Barbecue guest hotline, our good friend Adam Zucker of CBS Sports, hosts the studio show during football, during basketball, you name it, he is there, and we greatly appreciate him being with us today. Adam, hope you're doing well, my friend.
I'm doing well. Good to be out with you guys. I got to tell you, though, I hear that music. It feels like work. I perked up pretty quick.
Well, speaking of work, NCAA tournament round of 16 is going on. I personally think the entire tournament centers around tomorrow night's Duke-Syracuse game on CBS. The history and tradition of those programs. Any thoughts on that one? Will there be a slight rooting interest in any way whatsoever, Adam?
I will admit that it was very helpful that while the Syracuse-Michigan State game was going on, it was in its own standalone window. I did not have to have a working microphone in front of me to worry about. I did not have any updates to do for the other channels during that stretch. I had my wife and kids with me at the broadcast center. We ordered food. We watched it in our little green room.
Yeah.
And I'm just still in disbelief that Michigan State missed that many shots. They out-rebounded Syracuse on the Syracuse defensive glass. Like, they out-rebounded Syracuse by 21, but they had more offensive rebounds than Syracuse had defensive. Syracuse made one three-pointer and had three assists in the game. If you told me those three stats, I would just assume Syracuse lost by 25.
At least, yeah, my gosh.
It was crazy. Michigan State had their worst field goal percentage in tournament history end of the season. They made just over a quarter of their shots and just over a fifth of their threes, and they've got two, if not three, first-round draft picks on that team, and Syracuse is duct tape and walk-ons right now.
Yeah, but that Boeheim zone.
That's it, and Duke has used it now. Duke started using it, and Duke has, overall, I'm going to say, better players than my alma mater. And so you got Marvin Bagley down there. You got Gary Trent Jr. down there. Duval, I mean, yeah. Grayson Allen, of course. I mean, you got stars everywhere. So the last time Syracuse played Duke, it was at Cameron Indoor, and they scored 16 in the first half. It was their worst half of the year. So, you know, I got to think Syracuse used up all their magic beans on the last one. But you never know. Boeheim's got more wins as a double-digit seed than anyone else. He's got more upset wins than anyone else because he doesn't usually have the Carmelo Anthony's that he was blessed with once upon a time, or more like it be a team of Derek Coleman and Syke Lee and Billy Owens and Sherman Douglas like they had back in the late 80s where Keith Smart took it away from him. But you never know, man. We'll see. I'm not counting on much. I didn't count on them even making the tournament.
Yeah. There are a lot of people thinking NIT. Look at them now in the Sweet 16. Adam, Calipari, whining, complaining, didn't like where he was seated.
Thought it was a slap in the face. Yep.
Looking at him now, I don't think he's whining and complaining anymore.
You know, I'm trying to remember. I don't know if he was complaining about being a 5 seed, because overall, you know, 24-10 in the SEC, and they had their dips throughout the season. And I don't even expect, I guess you could say that Kentucky is in basketball what Alabama is in football in terms of the following, the expectations, the recruiting, the coach caliber, the history, all of that. I get that. I don't think you can expect Kentucky to be what they are every year, what they were with Anthony Davis every year. So I always expect it's going to take a little time, and it's going to be hard for them to have a high seed because of the time it takes to make five guys, especially when they're all freshmen or just, you know, majority freshmen. This is the youngest team he's ever had. So the 5 seed part didn't faze me. But if I had an hour with the selection committee chair, I would have asked him about the fact that Arizona and Kentucky were lined up to play each other. Of course, that didn't come to fruition. And then Kentucky against Virginia, that didn't come to fruition. We were feeling bad for Virginia to have to play either Arizona or Kentucky because Arizona, to me, had looked like maybe a 2 seed, but a solid 3, they end up losing in the first round as a 4. So now that John Calipari's gotten out of Boise, and I know that was the thing, the location talk and all, now you're in Atlanta. Now you're right in the in the capital of the SEC.
Yep, Catlett.
I know that their offices are in Birmingham, but come on, they're moving media day to Atlanta.
Yeah,
for football, our football championship every year. I'm in Atlanta. I mean, Kentucky and Atlanta. Now that's a gift. And look, just be careful though. You know that your guys will toughen up and be ready when they see the name on the front of the jersey across from them is Duke or Kansas or Villanova among the teams that are left. You got to be ready now because I don't think it's Kansas State that's the problem for them. It's the winner of the Nevada-Loyola-Chicago game because that takes on the elements of the Virginia-UMBC mentality. UMBC went pedal to the metal the whole game against Virginia and never got sloppy and just kept making shots and shot 68% in the second half. And all these other ACC teams that normally play Virginia, you know, they're not sprinting down the court every possession because there's just not as much on the line in those situations, whereas this was a different story. So Loyola Chicago, I mean, even Sister Jean predicted they would lose in this spot. So we'll see. Well, and then Nevada's on fire.
Yeah, they look really good to me. And, you know, let's talk television just a little bit and ratings and ad rates and interest and all that. I'll submit, like you said, you know, the Kentuckys and the Dukes and the Villanovas and all are still in there. And you got to have those. But I submit to you, Adam, that you've got to have the, you know, the Loyola Chicago's and the Nevada's and the, even the Texas Techs of the world. The upsets that we've had so far in the tournament, in your estimation, good for TV, bad for TV, good for the tournament or not?
I mean, look, I love it.
I do, too.
I mean, even when we had Duke Butler in the championship game, you know, that was the David versus Goliath, and now Butler's maybe more established. I mean, I love that. I loved when George Mason made it all the way. Now, in the end, you want to avoid a blowout. You want to avoid a blue blood operating at all cylinders and blowing out completely a team that's just inferior athletically and not on their game, or even if their best game doesn't hold up. You know, some of the high seeds that are gone in this situation, by the way, like the 2-1 seeds that are gone, Virginia and Xavier, like those aren't teams you would name as far as blue bloods right off the bat.
Right.
2-seed North Carolina, absolutely. But Cincinnati, you know, recently, yes, but not historically, not year in, year out. 3-seed Tennessee gone. Okay. Like we've seen blips here and there. Michigan State, absolutely. But Arizona being gone as a 4-seed, you know, we're used to them being one of the teams you'd mention. But, like, UCLA wasn't even close. You know, Indiana wasn't even in the tournament. So some of the other blue bloods, they were already gone. In the end, if from the left side of our bracket, Kentucky is the team on the left and Duke is the team on the right, you might get more eyeballs. I don't know what the research says, but I think if you have Loyola Chicago make it to the championship game against anybody, you're going to get a lot of people who might not have watched be interested too. And then I guess it also comes down to the fact that, hey, Loyola Chicago, that's Chicago. That's a lot of eyeballs that might not care who wins between Kentucky and Kansas or whoever it is too. So, I mean, in my world, in our world, we just think everybody watches these things, right?
Hey, we're talking.
But we'll see.
We're talking with Adam Zucker, CBS Sports. I've been hearing him throughout the tournament. And you might find it hard to believe, Adam, but there was a lot of interest in basketball in this part of the country. Auburn with a great year. Alabama also getting into the tournament as well with Avery Johnson and Bruce Pearl. Unfortunately, their second-round games didn't go real well.
No, man. Auburn was really, wow. That was just like an empty performance. And I know that they struggled down the stretch. They just got thinned out, you know, as time went on with the injuries. Alabama went up against the buzzsaw. I love the fact that the interest has grown. I think it's a trickle down from, you know, the money that the schools have to spend on the basketball coaches to begin with. I mean, the SEC has really bulked up in that world. And then they're getting the players, too. They're getting the good recruits like Texas A&M.
Yep.
Texas A&M, to me, might be playing the best of anybody in the tournament so far. I mean, Villanova, they're just firing away from three. If those threes aren't falling, like, watch out. That could be a really rough go for them against West Virginia. But, yeah, Auburn, I mean, gosh, what was it at one point? Auburn missed, I think, 18 straight shots.
18 straight, you're exactly right.
And so for Auburn fans out there, like, they shot what Michigan State shot against Syracuse. It was just an endless parade of missed shots. It was just amazing. I mean, they went, not only the missed shots, like, they went over 8 minutes without even a point. They didn't even get a free throw off. So that was crazy to me, and it was Bruce Pearl's birthday and everything. But Alabama, they looked so talented. Sexton looked great. You know, the threes weren't falling for John Petty. Gosh, I mean, Dante Hall, I was just glad he was okay.
Yeah.
But you know, Alabama went up against the team that right now is probably the favorite to win the whole thing.
I think
they're
so.
They're not a great three-pointing shooting team either.
You know, when Villanova came out in the second half, it was over 2-3 minutes in. I mean, Villanova started hitting all those threes, and you're thinking, whoa, I'm not sure they know what hit them.
No, Mikal Bridges hit them. I mean, DiVincenzo hit them in the first half with his 18 in the first half, yeah. And Mikal Bridges comes out, and it was just an aerial assault. I think it was his own personal, like, 19-3 run or something like that. Some of the numbers escape me a few days later.
And it all does seem to run together. It's such a production to try to get all of the madness together and presented and everything on all the different platforms and things like that. We love it. It's playing great on TV. Mm-hmm. And we certainly, as always, enjoy the time get to spend with you, Adam. Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah. No doubt, man. I love, even if I'm not really on the tube, the fact that I get to do these updates and kind of do what I kind of grew up or cut my teeth watching Greg Gumbel do, you know, it's really an honor to be a part of it. So thank you.
Well, we certainly enjoy your input and analysis and expertise and look forward to the remainder of the tournament. You mentioned Atlanta. That's where we'll be for SEC Football Media Days. And I got a couple of good restaurants in my black book I'll share with you when you come down to Atlanta in July.
Oh, well, let's do it. I mean, you and I have seen each other in Atlanta a few times already, so I'm pumped. I'm going to honestly miss being in Birmingham. I don't know if it's because I'm from a small town and lived in Syracuse and Scranton, but sometimes when I'm in the big cities and there's traffic to worry about, I get annoyed. Like, Birmingham I love, man, because we can go to Saws and walk right in and not worry about parking. Well, parking's a little difficult to one time, but you know what I mean, man. I love that that's a unique trip for us, and hopefully we'll be back there soon, too.
I think we will.
I can't believe you guys are starting up spring football. I'm shoveling out of the fourth nor'easter in 3 weeks.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. We need to have a whole segment of that's been like.
What do you mean just starting spring football?
Yeah, we've been talking about it for 2 months. Appreciate you, Adam. Thank you very much.
Thank you, buddy.
I've been actual practice, but cheers.
There you go. Sounds great. Adam Zucker, what a guy. On our Dreamland Barbecue guest hotline, you ain't nothing like them nowhere. Dreamland.